on this side, you can call them the left, you've just called them the left, that came violently attacking the other group. So you can say what you want, but that's the way it is.
I think there's blame on both sides.
Okay,
so let's see if we can dissect what the happened here between, say, yesterday and today. He did the both sides thing over the weekend and couldn't quite bring himself to, you know, criticize Nazis. And that caught him some shit. So by yesterday, things had reached a fever pitch. So he came out. I think Charlie Pierce described him as like a petulant 9-year-old bully forced to apologize. And he came out and he read a prepared statement that was somebody else's words. Now, what you're hearing here is the real Donald Trump, because he doesn't have any prepared remarks. He doesn't have a script. This is from his vile, filthy, disgusting, rotten heart. He has no script, and as a consequence, he's telling what is actually going on among the chattering spirochetes inside what remains of his never particularly formidable brain. And that is, both sides do it. That he has as much disdain for the people who stood up to fascists as he does for the fascists themselves. That people who didn't have guns are every bit as violent as the people who did. Okay? So that's where we are.
I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
And
if you reported it accurately, you would say.
So, according to the Clementine Caligula, the only reason that we have this idea that the Nazis were goddamn violent is because fake news is not reporting accurately how peaceable the goddamn Nazis were. Are we clear about that? Good. Because this goes on for a while. Just a minute, please. I have to... Okay, so that's where we were. Both sides do it. Both siderism. And in a way, it's sort of hard to wholeheartedly... No, it's not difficult at all to wholeheartedly condemn this vulgar little turd. But it's hard to talk about this without remembering that the origins of both siderism occur, of course, in the for-profit media. Now, there couldn't be a clearer instance of both siderism not being applicable than Charlottesville, but not according to the shrieking spirochetes in what's left of Tangerine Tiberius's never very formidable to begin with brain.
They showed up in Charlottesville to protest.
And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were...
Wait, excuse me. They didn't what? They didn't put themselves down as neo-Nazis, and you had some very bad people in that group. So like I said, try to figure out what happened. Yesterday there was the written, and then today there's a. So who got to him? Steve Bannon got to him. That's who. Stephen Miller got to him. That's who. Seb Gorka, whose father received medals for his fascist behavior, they got to him. They said, listen, the neo-Nazis are your base. And they're forgiving of you. Probably even told him what Richard Spencer said. But you need to make clear that you're not okay with the alt-left, even if there's not, you know, an alt-left. This is and how do we know that it was Bannon and the other little Nazis in the Oval Office who got to him? In the same event, he was asked about Bannon. And he said, he's not a racist, I can tell you that. He actually gets very unfair press in that regard. He's a good person, and I think the press treats him, frankly, very unfairly. We are at a sort of a watershed moment. I think I have enough years behind me in this broadcast to be able to say that I don't throw around historical comparisons loosely, that I try to point out where things are similar and where they are different. Only Hitler can be Hitler. You know, for a long time, we had a Hitler pool on this program for any mention of Hitler, because only Hitler can be Hitler. Donald Trump isn't Hitler. I've referred to him as the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, but that's more because of his fascist behavior and his facial appearance. But we're at a watershed right now. And, you know, if you disagree, that's fine. You can send your emails to bobkincaid@gmail.com. When the phone lines are open, you know, you can disagree if you wish. We try always to disagree without being disagreeable. Some people are less able to do that than others, but for the most part, I think we're pretty well successful. But Bannon and the other little Nazis got to him, and it's time that we understood that they're Nazis. He's giving succor to people who were marching through Charlottesville screaming Sieg Heil, giving the stiff-armed Nazi salute, hollering Nazi slogans like blood and soil. And this guy is with them and of them. Michael and Madison telling me, yeah, you're right, today is a watershed moment. And there's a moment coming in this that's a watershed within a watershed. And I'll share with you what Michael said about that in a moment.
People in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group. Excuse me.
You got that? Some of the Nazis were very fine people. Anybody want to talk about that here in a little bit? Because I think I'm going to need some help. I want to talk about the very fine Nazis. Because the President of the United States, the guy we got because the Sparkle Fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade couldn't bring themselves to vote for corrupt Hillary. This guy just said that some of the Nazis in Charlottesville were very fine people. I really want some help understanding what goes into the making of a very fine Nazi, as Donald Trump declared some of them were.
Excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue.
A very, very important statue that really hasn't been there very long and was only put up as a not particularly veiled insult and warning to people of color in Charlottesville, Virginia. A statue of a nasty old slave owner and committer of treason against the United States of America. Old Marse Bobby Lee, that's right. And Donald J. Trump, whose family, none of whose family, as far as I can tell, has ever served under the colors of this country, is apparently also upset about the removal of that statue. It, meanwhile, as an aside, in Durham, North Carolina last night, a Confederate statue got the Saddam Hussein treatment. The North Carolina legislature passed a statute, in between moments when they weren't having complete conniptions about potties. They passed a statute that forbade cities in North Carolina from removing Confederate statues. So last night, some mostly, I presume, young people who were sick and tired of having monuments to goddamn treason in their communities, monuments to racism, monuments to the vulgarity and the manifest, absolute, unequivocal, almost indescribable evil of chattel slavery. Well, you know, they hooked some ropes and chains to a Confederate statue and pulled it to the ground. There were no arrests, at least as of earlier today. So, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is all worried about the statue of a very fine man, Robert E. Lee.
And the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
No,
George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner?
Hold on here. This is important. We're going to go back.
People that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group. Excuse me. I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
Well,
no, George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down... Excuse me. Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about...
Okay. Let's talk about George Washington, slave owner. Let me point out something that might be beneficial. A upon his death, George Washington did something Thomas Jefferson did not. George Washington had the courage to do something Thomas Jefferson did not. Upon his death, George Washington freed his slaves. So you may actually make the historical argument that in death, George Washington got it right. And we'll just sort of breeze past the idea that Donald Trump talking about George Washington in terms of historical understanding or anything like that is on a par with me talking about the favorite sporting pastime of the nine-limbed creatures of Norblap 9. Okay? George Washington, are we going to take down the statues of George Washington? No, dumbass. No, you goddamn fool. We're not.
Thomas Jefferson. What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him?
I do.
Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner.
You know, back around the 4th of July, we had a serious conversation here about Thomas Jefferson. We're not talking about gods here. We're talking about men. And we're talking about men who were deeply, deeply flawed. But again, you can make the argument that, no, we're probably not going to pull down any statues to Thomas Jefferson, because like George Washington, neither of them committed treason against their country. You know, like Robert E. Lee did. Like Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson did. Like John Bell Hood did. Like every member of the Confederate terrorist army that wreaked havoc upon this country and started a war against this country in 1861. Oh, no, not the Civil War again. God damn it. I mean, because I've seen that in the past. I've seen listeners of this program. Oh, Bob's going to talk about the Civil War again. It never ended. Okay? It never ended. It could have. It could have ended in April 1865. Reconstruction could have gone forward. But the South formed a terrorist army to resist any effort to normalize and integrate freed slaves into the civic life of this country. Out of that, not out of the Civil War, but out of that grows Jim Crow, and the step-off rule, and the eyeball rule, and Plessy versus Ferguson, and segregated schooling. So I just want to, it's so easy to deconstruct this goddamned abomination upon our country. But he must be deconstructed. His words must be understood for what they are.
Now, we're going to take down his statue. So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists. Okay.
You know what? If you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. They should be condemned. God Almighty. I think we can go to what Michael said now. His talking points about how taking down General Lee's statue will lead to taking down Washington and Jefferson statues, etc., he took that, intentionally or not, verbatim from a disgusting podcast popular with the Daily Stormer crowd called Fash the Nation. Fascist, Fash the Nation, get it? From this past Sunday's episode. For all I know, it's a common alt-right talking point, but the phrasing was terrifyingly identical. They're rewriting history. They're erasing history. No one's erasing history. No one is forbidding anyone from talking about the Civil War, from talking about slavery, from talking about the people who participated in treason. It should be not only talked about, but talked about more. But what the conversation is about is whether we should continue to give parts of the public commons to the honoring and adoration even of people whose actions in their lives rendered those lives almost entirely evil. And don't tell me about what a good old Mars Bobby Lee was. He was a goddamn slave owner. That made him a bad person. And see, that's not just the opinion of 21st century, of the 21st century looking back on the 19th. That was also the opinion of a vast number of Americans. I'll take a moment. I was actually hoping, if I got on the air this evening, I was hoping to share a little bit of what we saw, what we thought, as we traveled last week. And this is part of that. As we went south, and particularly as we took the route that runs through rural Alabama from its northwest corner down to its Gulf Coast, through places like Demopolis, I thought back to William H. Seward. Seward was a member of Lincoln's cabinet. He came from New York. He was an abolitionist, but not what was termed in the time a fire breather. He simply recognized, and he recognized it on, oddly enough, moral and religious grounds, that slavery was inherently evil. That the people who were enslaved were in fact human beings, not subhuman beings, but full human beings. But at one point in his career, he and his wife decided to take a trip south to go and visit friends who happened to live in the slave states. I'm under the impression that it was travel by carriage. There may have been some rail involved. But he makes diary entries in which he talks about the heartbreak of what he sees going through Virginia. And that heartbreak is slavery. Of the misery, the human agony that was all around him and which white people in the area blithely looked at and dismissed. And he found it nauseating. He found it disgusting. He found it, in fact, unbearable, and he and his wife wound up turning around and going home and not even completing their journey because they could not stand to witness on a daily basis so much hate, so much evil, so much banal wickedness. And I thought of that as we traveled. Because wherever you go in a place like Alabama, you still, 155, 156 years after the fighting of the Civil War, you still cannot get away from it because it's everywhere. The poverty that you see, I mean, and look, I come from West Virginia. I'm pretty conversant with seeing poverty. But as any progressive person who lives in a place like, say, South Carolina can tell you, or Tennessee or North, anywhere in the Confederacy, but particularly in places like South Carolina and Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana, you're not ready if you go walkabout. You are not ready for the poverty that you see. Because the poverty that you see in the Deep South is, in many ways, an intentional poverty. It is the legacy of a determination that if we have to, if the idea of government is to serve all the people, you know, even the black ones, then we just won't have government that does much at all. And so you see images. They're not images. God damn it, they're people who are born broken, who are born without any chance, not even the chance of somebody playing a random pick of five numbers plus one in the lottery, which in this instance I think is somewhere around 1 in 329 million, which is roughly one in the population of the United States. Not even that much of a chance of rising out of it. And if you're like me, seeing something like that will shake you to your core. And I explained it in as we drove together. You remember, Agnes and I were by ourselves for the first time in 24 years. And having grown up with it, I tried to explain it, and I said, this place would be allowed to burn to the ground if they couldn't figure out a way to make sure that everyone doesn't participate and partake of the civic well-being of this state. They're having a primary in Alabama today. The Republican primary is getting all the attention, because if any one of the candidates gets more than 50%, for all intents and purposes, that person will be the next senator for a full term from the state of Alabama. And it is one of the more bizarre, come on, it's Alabama politics. It all comes about because Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III is attorney general, which created a space that had to be filled, and the space got filled by a governor who was a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian, who was also at the same time engaged in a really seamy, seedy, sordid extramarital affair with a woman who wasn't his wife, and that's all superfluous and redundant, but nonetheless, just to make things clear. We played the tape months and months and months ago. Oh, if we're going to do any more of that, we're going to have to close the doors, honey, because I do love squeezing on your breastises. Jesus. So the breast squeezer, former Governor Robert Bentley, Christian, appointed the then Attorney General of the state of Alabama, Luther Strange, to be a seat warmer. And now today they're having a primary. And the three major candidates for the office are the guy who was sent to fill the seat, Big Luther Strange, and a congressman from my neck of the woods in Alabama by the name of Mo Brooks, less brains. He is a walking Republican version of the old Miller Lite ads. Mo Brooks, less brains. And the front runner, Roy Tola Moore. You know, Ten Commandments, Roy Tola. States' rights means no gay marriage, Roy Tola Moore. He's the front runner. If he gets 50%, he will be a member of the Senate of the United States. If he doesn't get 50%, whoever comes in first and second, they'll have a runoff in a little bit. And, I mean, really? Roy Tola Moore versus Mo Brooks, less brains, versus that strange guy. It sounds like something that would be happening down to the busted knuckle armory at the wrestling matches on Saturday night. But instead, it's just another example of the dysfunctional politics that obtains in a place like Alabama. Heartbreaking poverty. And then in other places, magnificent prosperity. Houses, fuck Beverly Hills. You need to see some lake houses in Alabama. This is real wealth. And it's not hard to imagine that if they could get away with it, they'd probably have them, a good handful of, not chopping cotton, but, just some house servants. Who am I kidding? They've got them. And they don't have to pay them more than $875 an hour? No health care benefits, no nothing. And so everything that's embodied in those statues of people like Bobby Lee and Stonewall Jackson and Jefferson Davis is still very much alive in this country. And that's kind of the backdrop to all of this for me. Let's go back to Tangerine Tiberius, Dolt 45.
Okay, and the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group too.
To be clear, what he's describing are the black bloc anarchist Antifa folks whose stated mission is to oppose fascists, which, of course, even including the very fine Nazis, is what Nazis are. And so a question presents itself to us for discussion this evening. What do you do with a Nazi? History has given us its answer. The photograph that Michael in Madison sent to me speaks to it. Men leaping into the surf at Normandy to offer up their lives to stop Nazis. Well, apparently that's not how Donald Trump thinks about them, because, those were German Nazis, but wait, he's German. But there were some very fine Nazis, and I guess they didn't deserve to die. We should have just moved through them. Are you a bad Nazi? Are you a good Nazi or a bad Nazi? These are Nazis. These are the same kind of people who build political movements. It is their goal to build a political movement that will overturn civil society in the United States. And the question is, what do you do about them? I wish I had ready contact with some of my friends in Germany to, you know, ask what, you know, what do you recommend? You've got the history with it. What do you recommend? Well, you know, you don't let them raise their flag. You make the ideology flat out illegal. Oh, but we can't do that because, well, we got the First Amendment, by God. And that means that we all have to tolerate Nazi hate speech, Nazi calls to violence, Nazi armed rebellion, or else nobody will have freedom anymore. Astonishing. But it's there. It's there to be found. Not hard to find at all. And you'll find it among liberals and progressives.
Well, I mean, you're talking about things like what the House Un-American Activities Committee did with the Red Scare.
No, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about goddamn Nazis. The last I checked, the House Un-American Activities Committee was not in the least bit interested in pursuing Nazis. So we have a question before us. What do you do with Nazis? What rights do Nazis have? If you give rights, if you afford rights, if you recognize rights for Nazis, what do you do when they take power and decide you don't have any anymore? Because, see, there aren't any very fine Nazis. There aren't even any remotely good Nazis. There aren't any middle-of-the-road Nazis. There's only one kind of Nazi, and that is an evil Nazi. Wholly and completely evil. You know, let's check back in. I had to restart the audio. Let's see where we are.
Are we going to take down statues to George?
No, we've been through that dipshit.
Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group too.
I'm sorry. I just didn't understand what you were saying. You were saying the press has treated white nationalists unfairly.
No,
I just didn't understand what you were saying.
No. There were people in that rally, and I looked the night before. If you look, they were people protesting very quietly the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. I'm sure in that group there were some bad ones. The following day, it looked like they had some rough, bad people. Neo-Nazis, white nationalists, whatever you want to call them. But you had a lot of people in that group that were there to innocently protest and very legally protest because, you know, I don't know if you know, they had a permit. The other group didn't have a permit.
Ah, well, they didn't have a permit. You got to have a permit to oppose Nazis or else we don't have freedom in Merca. Yeah, that. They had a permit.
So I only tell you this. There are two sides to a story. I thought what took place was a horrible moment for our country. A horrible moment. But there are two sides to the country. Does anybody have a final? Does anybody have? You have an infrastructure.
What makes you think you can get an infrastructure bill? You didn't get health care.
Well, you know, I'll tell you. We came very close with health care. Unfortunately, John McCain decided to vote against it at the last minute. You'll have to ask John McCain why he did that. But we came very close to health care. We will end up getting health care, but we'll get the infrastructure. And actually, infrastructure is something that I think we'll have bipartisan support on.
Yeah, because that's what we need, an infrastructure question. Well, there you go. There you have it. Yes, as Laborman points out in the chat room. Yes, Bob, and the permittees get to beat the shit out of the no permittees, too, also. By the way, Scott in San Diego and his little feathered pal Punky, I am not now nor have I ever been the cockatiel, says, HUAC not only didn't bother with Nazis, they seldom dealt in actual subversives. They mostly dealt in rumor, innuendo, and unfounded smear tactics. So, I'm kind of at a loss. Other things are much easier to talk about. But it is extremely difficult to talk about watching the sort of elected leader, president of the country, press his nose into the rectum of the toxic right wing of this country. But let's also understand that it exists on a continuum. There are those among us, I'm sure, who will remember with somewhat similar horror the nod and the wink and the dog whistle that went on when Ronald Reagan went to Philadelphia, Mississippi. To give a nod and a wink to the Klan, who had committed murders and atrocities there. It's something I don't want to talk about expressly by myself. Hopefully you'll be interested in providing some discussion, some context. This is still not the time or the place for the bulk of my observations coming out of the trip that you so kindly allowed us to take, made possible for Agnes and I to take. And there are most assuredly lots and lots of other things going on. But this is like a slow moving car wreck. And it is having repercussions all over this country. For instance, an aquatic center near Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. A neo-Nazi there got into a confrontation with the lifeguards. It was aquatic center, swimming pool. So he didn't have a shirt on. And he was all tatted up with swastikas, upside-down crosses, and 666. And he wandered into the aquatic center and started to use an outlet to charge an electronic, gizmo. Over on Popville, someone commented, "I just stopped by my local pool in Eastern Market to swim laps. It's temporarily closed because a guy with a swastika tattoo on his abdomen entered the pool today and called a lifeguard the N-word, and a brawl ensued. The other swimmers I spoke to said there was blood, and they broke the glass at the lifeguard stand. I saw the white supremacist with the swastika tattoo sitting in the sidewalk in front of the pool being interviewed by 3 D.C. police with my own eyes." Huh, interviewed. Okay. D.C. Columbia Department of Parks and Recreation issued a statement. They said several guests raised concerns to DPR lifeguards about the individual being on the pool deck but not using the pool. A DPR lifeguard responded by trying to speak with the individual. At this point, the individual became irate, repeatedly and aggressively using offensive language towards the lifeguard. As the situation began to escalate, a second lifeguard intervened and the police were called. Once officers from the Protective Services Division arrived, the individual was escorted out of the facility. The pool remained closed for about 30 minutes after the incident while staff cleaned up glass from a door window that was accidentally broken while the second lifeguard was assisting with de-escalating the situation. Man, talk about taking the English language out behind the barn and giving it a good thumping. De-escalating. To be clear, there was no physical contact between the individual who was asked to leave and any staff or guests at the facility. No, he just stood around hollering that word. So that's D.C. How about Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Home of the University of Alabama. The Crimson Tide. Well, there... okay, maybe people in some parts of the country don't know what Waffle House is. Waffle House is an all-night joint, a chain... And which, as all night joints go, you can get some decent food. They make a tolerable cheeseburger. They're hash browns, scattered, smothered, covered, and with cheese and with onions and ham and jalapenos and God only knows what. They're real good. And it's Waffle House, so you can get a decent waffle. This isn't food porn. I believe it was Friday night when a melee ensued there after an aggrieved snowflake white guy complained that some people of color were being served before the white person was. I kid you not. This led to said white person having his ass whipped by one of the people upon whom the word had been used. The video is stunning. But we need to come to terms with the fact that this conduct, this usage, has been empowered and emboldened by the Nazi in chief. Is it okay if going forward we just refer to Donald J. Trump as the Nazi in chief? Because if you can't condemn them without reverting to both-siderism, you know, if it quacks like a duck and it acts like a duck, you know, it's a Nazi. And the question obtains, in our civil society, with our First Amendment, what do you do with Nazis? Beats me, I guess. But I suspect we're going to see more and more of this stuff. Or there's the guy in North Carolina. Courtesy of the Charlotte News and Observer. A woman saw a guy flying a straight-up Hakenkreuz red field, white circle, black swastika flag from his house. Now, I don't know why, but she decided to... Well, I do know why. Because there are people who feel that Nazis have no place in America. I tend to agree with them. A Nazi offers no value whatsoever. And you know, in this case, we've actually got history to back up the assertion. There is no redeeming moral, social, artistic, or political value in anything a Nazi says. But Paige Braswell said, according to the Charlotte News and Observer, that it was impossible for her to stand mute after seeing what went down in Charlottesville. So she pulled into his driveway this past Sunday, ready for a confrontation with a man named Joe Love. Joe Love, of course, has a Donald Trump sticker on his truck. And here's what happens.
Let's see here. Now it's a White House, of course. And this might be it. There it is. Right here on the corner. Let's see. Number 403. Number 403. Let's go see what they have to say about the Nazi flag. Shall we? Let's go see. I got a Trump sticker on my truck. Hey, what's up with the Nazi flag?
Who are you?
Are you David?
Hell no, I ain't David. I'm Joe Love. Why? What's that goddamn flag got to do with you?
Why do you have a
Nazi
flag?
What's it to you? Do you make the payments on his fucking house?
No, I don't.
Okay, don't fucking worry about it.
Why do you have a Nazi flag up?
What's it to you?
Because this is America, not Nazi Germany.
Well, don't worry about it. You get your ass in your car and get the hell out of here, best thing I can tell you. I know you feel me. Fuck you.
Okay.
Where do you live? What kind of flag do you fly?
I fly a rainbow flag, thank you.
Okay, so what does that tell me about you?
That I'm not a Nazi?
I'm not a Nazi either. This is Nazi fucking America.
Is it?
You get your ass in your car and get the fuck out of my...
Let me ask you something.
Fuck you! Get your ass in your car and get the hell out of here.
Do you think that Trump, had something to do with all of this?
If you don't get the hell out of here, then you're going to have trouble.
Okay.
I promise you that.
I'm sure we would. Okay.
Take your queer ass on, lesbian ass on, big fat fucking ass on, and go on, bitch.
You had a choice.
All
right. I'm going right now.
And as she backs out of the driveway, he's flipping her off with both hands because, well, you know how it is with Nazis. They're so
I know
purple.
Where you work, too. That's pretty obvious. So that's what that was.
Now, this woman has more courage than probably a million Nazis put together, because Nazis can't operate unless they're in a gang of thugs. She took her life into her own hands, no doubt about it. But this then opens the door of another discussion, which I happen to hear a little bit of mewling about. Sandra used that word on Twitter the other day, and I've been trying to get some mileage out of it. It's a great word, mewling. You remember Shakespeare, all the world's a stage and we're but players on it, and the line about mewling and puking in his mother's arms, babies, you know, mewling. I was listening to National Petroleum Radio as I drove this morning. And I heard some guy from New York, ostensibly a liberal, some sort of professor of law or whatever. One presumes from the name that he was Jewish. That may be an improper presumption, but I'm guessing I'm right. Who is deeply concerned about how people are turning in Nazis to their employers to let their employers know that they're Nazis. Whoa. Agnes was with me in the vehicle. So was Ferg. And I got a quick, calm down, honey. Because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. because that is happening. And I don't know about you, but I've got no problem with it. The Nazis who were at the rally, thanks to the person over on Twitter at Yes, You're Racist, begins collecting images of these people, these Nazis, and then publicly outs them as Nazis. One Nazi who worked at a hot dog stand in, what, Berkeley? The news report said voluntarily resigned after being confronted by his employer about his presence at the Charlottesville Nazi riot. Question. Is that okay? Now, the pearl-clutching, hand-wringing concern of the dude on National Petroleum Radio this morning was that, well, maybe the information is inaccurate, or maybe they're not, you know, that Nazi. Or what if somebody photoshopped it? Shut up. They're Nazis! It's not like getting fired because you're a Democrat, or getting fired because you're a Republican, or getting fired because you oppose, say, mountaintop removal. Happened to me. It's not on a par with being fired because you're gay or trans or black or female or male or white or brown. Again, at least to me, Nazis are a breed apart. Maybe they're not to you. Maybe we'll talk about it in a little bit. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay with outing Nazis. And you know what? Corporations, of whom we are frequently highly critical, often have policies that say, we don't want any Nazis. We don't want any Klansmen. We won't tolerate them. And so you get things like, who? Cole White, of course, of Berkeley, losing his job at Top Dog because he was outed by Yes, You're Racist. Silent R. Lamar points out, if you can get fired for being gay, you can damn sure be fired for being a Nazi. It's all fair, Bob. One of the people who showed up, and this was part of my conversation last night with Dave Nywert, the idea that these people are cut, they converged on Charlottesville, Virginia, in this case from Corvallis, Washington. The president of the Washington State University chapter of the, come on, it's not the college Nazis. Yes, it is. It's the college Republicans. Remember, more than 50% of the GOP base are alt-right, otherwise known as Nazis. James Alsup, A-L-L-S-U-P, was identified as one of the Nazis in Charlottesville. He's got his little Richard Spencer fade haircut. And he's not taking it lying down. He said, they have no proof that I'm a racist. They're slandering me and that I'm racist without evidence because I talk about history and I talk about American politics. I'm a paleoconservative. I'm a right-wing libertarian. Mm-hmm. Sure you are. You're a Nazi! Uh, Oh, I'm sorry. I said no. Thank you for the clarification. Geography problems. Clarity pointing out Pullman is Washington State. Corvallis, Oregon is Oregon State. They're both pretty bad at football. That's my only excuse. Yeah, I'm sorry. Corvallis, Oregon, Pullman, Washington. So this Nazi is the president of the College Republicans at Washington State in Pullman, Washington. Thank you. Thank you. We regret the error. Let's see. Peter Chivtanovich, 20 years old, was photographed waving a torch and screaming Nazi slogans in Charlottesville. He said, it's a misrepresentation. I don't see myself as the angry racist shown in the photos. Well, Snowflake, that's you that's being an angry racist in the photos, isn't it, darling? That makes you one of the angry racists in the photos.
I'm not an angry racist. I'm just a racist. I'm not angry.
Huh. Is it okay to out these people? Is it okay to hopefully ruin their lives and make sure that they never get into, say, any of those schools that catapult people to almost instantaneous access to power? You know, your Harvards, your Yales, your Princetons, your Columbias, your Browns, your UVAs, your UMichigans, your Stanfords, those sorts of places, your Vanderbilts, your Dukes. Is it okay to do that? Because legally and constitutionally, I think it is. And I guess we're drilling our way down to the question of what rights should Nazis have? And apparently it's a pretty vibrant, heated discussion. What rights should Nazis have? I think they should have the right against self-incrimination. They should have Fifth Amendment rights. They should have Fourth Amendment rights against warrantless searches and seizures. They should have the right to trial by jury. You know, when the police aren't busy running away and not arresting them. They should have the right to confront their accusers. Should they have the right to free speech? Absolutely, I guess. But it's the question of how we define free speech that's where we get into trouble. Because when you show up with guns and clubs and shields and helmets for the sole purpose of intimidating anyone who would protest against you or against any police who might stop you. Remember, Dolt 45 said, they had a permit. Then why do you need the guns, boys? Why do you need the guns? You got a permit. It's not like the other side brings guns. The left is famously sort of anti-gun now, isn't it? So their constitutional rights should remain inviolable. But when they move their speech out of the protected area and into the realms of unprotected speech, like incitement to riot, which is what they did in Charlottesville, every last goddamn one of them should be arrested and charged. And as I noted last night, charged with obstructing an officer in the lawful performance of his duties, which they did by making the police run away. It's sort of, you know, you can think of it as the North Korea tactic. We're going to show up with a bunch of guns because if we're powerful, then the institutional powers won't touch us. Wonder what the police in Charlottesville would have done had the Nazis started gunning down the innocent protesters whom they surrounded, because they did surround them. Would they have returned fire, or would they have kept running? Did they run because they were afraid, or did they run because they agreed? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be saying run. Tactically retreat. Did they tactically retreat because some members of the police force agreed with them? These are questions that must be asked. And sadly aren't. And of course, like I said, Nazis by themselves are cowards. This morning, a video of a guy running away from a man in a mask who was chasing him. Well, it was captured on video. We'll see how the audio goes. Maybe not. Oh well.
I'm not really white power, man. I just came here for the fun. Fuck.
Nah.
I'm sorry.
You can't just take your costume off.
What the fuck is that?
Don't get yourself in trouble over it. Don't do it. Please don't.
You need to move back. You need to move back now.
What happened?
You must leave the area now, or you will be arrested.
So, you just came here for the fun? Yeah, so you're not a real white supremacist.
Leave the area now.
It's kind of a fun idea.
Which part?
You got that? You're not a real white supremacist? Apparently, no. It's kind of a fun idea, he says, white supremacy is.
All right.
Just being able to say, like, hey, man, white power, you know?
Yeah, where's the fun part come?
I mean, I was in jail.
For what?
Okay.
You're a white supremacist until people start chasing you, and then you took the uniform off. So are you going to put it back on?
Or put it... quite honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I love to be offensive. It's fun.
So it's like cosplay.
I don't want to talk.
So, but are you going to put your white supremacist uniform back on? You took it off when people were chasing you. Okay.
Corner them. And if they don't have a gun to shoot you with, they're cowards. Nazis always are. So, if the program had started on time, I would have by now filibobstered away over half of the program. If you would like to participate in conversation on this topic, or, you know, I don't see how we talk about other ones, but I guess we can try. I'm kind of up to my eyeballs in Nazis here, but I can, I can make the attempt. But let's take a break. If you would like to reach the program, 304-574-8178, the stress line is temporarily out of commission. 304-574-8178, or Skype to Skype, anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. That's how you get through. Now you can reach me on Twitter, at Bob Kincaid, Facebook, Bob Kincaid. And I want to thank Steve from Georgistan for jumping in on fundraising this evening, even though I'm not actively fundraising. I appreciate it. It'd be nice to get one day ahead. But I'm not going to sit and count down and what. But thank you. Thank you, Steve and Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Thank you. So let's take a break. It's Tuesday, the 15th of August. That means we've got the Green News Report coming up with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Jump in if you want to engage in conversation. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn.
I sang Dixie as he died. People just walked on by as I cried. The bottle had run out of tin of all his rebel pride. I sang Dixie as he died. Said way down yonder in the land of cotton, old times ain't near as rotten as they are on this damned old L.A. street. They drew a dying breath, laid his head against my chest. Please, Lord, take his soul back home to Dixie. I sang Dixie as he died. People just walked on by as I cried. The bottle had run out of tin of all his rebel pride. So I sang Dixie.
It's Tuesday, August 15, 2017.
What I saw is actually extremely very terrible and unimaginable.
Hundreds dead in Sierra Leone after massive mudslide caused by torrential rains.
You know, it's 8,000 square miles of no oxygen. That can't be good.
This year's Gulf of Mexico dead zone is the largest ever recorded. Scientists warn super heat waves will get more frequent. Plus, It's not your imagination, Florida. Sea levels really are rising faster in the southeast.
How can that be? We'll find out all of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Republicans used to be against lead in the drinking water. Now they're happy to poison their children if it'll make Al Gore sad.
Well, he is the root of all evil. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, absolutely horrifying, disastrous news out of Sierra Leone today.
Yes, it's the latest in a string of extremely deadly extreme weather disasters. In the African nation of Sierra Leone, in the town of Freetown, officials say at least 300 people were killed in the pre-dawn hours on Monday morning as a massive mudslide caused by days of torrential rains and flash floods buried residents in their homes while they slept. Officials say the death toll may get even higher. Rescue operations are underway.
Is it too early to tell if there is a climate change fingerprint here?
Yes, it is too early for an attribution study, but these extreme torrential downpours are consistent with what scientists have predicted will happen with global warming. In Iraq, the Iraqi government has declared a mandatory holiday due to an extensive and severe heat wave. Civil servants were ordered to remain home because temperatures in the cities of Baghdad and Basra have soared to more than 124 degrees Fahrenheit for more than 10 days straight.
Is the finger of climate change on that?
Well, again, it is too soon to say, but it is consistent with what scientists predicted.
Feels like we're starting to see a pattern here.
And now yet another new study projects that such extreme heat waves will get even worse. The Joint Research Center, which is the science and research laboratory of the European Union, in a study released last week, calculated that if humanity does not cut carbon emissions on our current trajectory, we can expect what they called super heat waves to hit regularly in many parts of the world, including Europe and the United States. They say we can expect extended stretches of temperatures above 131 degrees.
Man, those super heat waves? Not so super.
Meanwhile, the fossil fuel industry, whose emissions cause the global warming that intensifies extreme weather events like heat waves and floods, are being subsidized by governments to the tune of more than $5 trillion a year. In a new study, economic researchers at the International Monetary Fund combined two numbers to reach that $5 trillion: direct subsidies to consumers that keep fossil fuel prices low, and producer subsidies. That's direct and indirect payments and tax breaks given to the fossil fuel industry. And also the environmental costs of pollution and health impacts that the fossil fuel industry doesn't pay for, but governments do. The report calculates that government subsidies globally for the fossil fuel industry amount to more than 6% of global GDP.
But we're told that renewable energy can't survive without government subsidies.
Exactly. In the United States, in the Gulf of Mexico, this year's dead zone is the largest ever recorded, according to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Dead zones are areas with no oxygen that kill whatever can't swim away fast enough. And that harms Louisiana's commercial shrimping industry. They're caused when nutrient pollution, largely from agricultural runoff like manure and fertilizer, washes into bodies of water. That creates algae blooms that use up all the oxygen. And farming is the primary culprit, according to former NOAA scientist Dan Scavia in an interview with NPR.
Most of the nitrogen and phosphorus that drives this problem comes from the upper Midwest. It's coming from agriculture. You know, it's 8,000 square miles of no oxygen. That can't be good.
Finally, sea levels are rising faster in Florida and other southeastern coastal states than in other parts of the world. Sea levels rise unevenly around the planet, and researchers with the University of Florida have now confirmed that between 2011 and 2015, the sea level in Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and points farther south rose 6 times faster than the long-term global average.
So sea levels rise at different rates, even though it's the same sea?
Yes, exactly, due to different underwater geology, for example. Also, warming oceans expand.
And it's hitting North Carolina and points south down to Florida.
Yeah.
Climate change denial country.
Yes, kind of. And it's not going to get any better. Flood systems that are designed for the last 50 years are not ready for the next 50 years.
We're not ready for a lot of this over the next 50 years, I'm afraid. Thank you. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website, at greennews.bradblog.com. We've got a lot of extra stories that we just don't have time for in our 6 minutes. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It's a rising, rising time. It's a rising, rising tide. Oh, just like the rising tide is cold.
Yeah, see, that's another part of the travel report that I will probably get into by fits and starts. I cannot tell you how many thousands of acres I drove past in Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi where the corn was burnt up with drought. Now, the cotton planting seemed to be coming along nicely. It was rich and green in places. But, I mean, in some places, corn, as far as the eye can see, that was, the whole crop was ruined. Most of it, you know, there's very little family farming left down there. But most of it was corporate, appeared to be corporate agriculture. And just, and you know, it wasn't corn that was being raised to for roasting ears on anybody's grill or anything. This was stuff that was being raised to maybe turn into ethanol or to turn into high fructose corn syrup. But I mean, waves, you know, the amber waves, it wasn't amber. It was just burnt up and brown. From drought. Drought that is very likely a result of climate change. And which is routinely denied in those parts. Not uniformly. There are look, there's nobody bolder. There's nobody tougher. There's nobody fiercer than a Southern progressive. But there's not a lot of Southern progressive farmers down there, and there, frankly, aren't a lot of Southern progressives, period. Not near enough. But it's real, and it was there for the seeing. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Clarity says, Trump was not supposed to answer questions today. The White House press stated to NBC Trump went rogue. Oh, dear God. Well, look, when he goes off script, you find out what the spirochetes are really thinking. And we found out today that the chief executive of the United States, the chief magistrate, the president of the United States, is a fucking Nazi. Because if you cannot roundly, soundly, and unequivocally condemn Nazis and anybody who has anything to do with them, you gotta wear it, sunshine. Going back to the clip earlier of the kids, don't hurt me, I just like to agitate, I just like to say white power, it's kind of fun. Subject line coming from Michael and Madison, cucking Nazis. LMAO. Wow! Do the Daily Stormers know that they have cucks among their ranks? I'm sorry, I fucking hate that word. But wow, 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 I'm still laughing at that coward. And, you know, as soon as the cameras were off of him, he put his little Nazi uniform on and got back to the business of being a Nazi. You know he did. Meanwhile, Matt, with a note. Subject line, these fuckers. These Nazi alt-right fucks are supposed to have a rally in San Francisco at Chrissy Field this weekend. Apparently, they would like the visuals of the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. My grandfather was one of the many men it took to build that bridge. Thanks to Dolt 45, I may have to see the Golden Gate Bridge as a backdrop for Nazis. Where the fuck am I? I'm not one of those folks that are shocked at last weekend's events. I'm one who's been a recipient of the unadulterated hate from these alt-right shits. I'm well aware of what they're capable of. My first idea was to dress up in full drag, don my blonde wig, 5-inch heels, full-length rainbow gown, and show up to protest these shits. Nothing says white supremacy more than a 6-foot-6-inch drag queen beating your Nazi ass. However, my husband has forbade me from attending. He does know me well. I fear this shit is just the beginning. And after today's delusional show from our commander and thief, I'm afraid the near future will be full of ugliness. I really do wonder if this country can make it through to the other side. I know, Matt. I know. I wonder that, too. I've mentioned before that there are two men who were beloved on both sides of my family. One, I guess he would be a second cousin, and one an uncle, neither of whom came home from Europe. We've got one of those Purple Heart and certificate signed by FDR. I spent a good bit of time trying to figure out where it was he died and how and why. Because that kind of sacrifice does touch you. He entered the theater of operations in September. You know, fighting Nazis. He entered the theater of operations sometime around September. And he was dead by October. He had trained and trained and trained. He'd risen through the ranks. He was his platoon leader, sergeant. And he didn't quite last 2 months before Nazis killed him. The other relative made it a little further. He survived the siege of Bastogne, only to die in January, early January of 1945. He was killed by Nazis! And you know what? You know what's likely? These little 20-year-old, the 20-something punks, and the 30-something and 40-something punks, and 60-something punks like Bannon who lead them, I'll bet you most of them have some relative that fought Nazis. Maybe a grandfather or a great-grandfather. And they spit on them. It's like the family out of North Dakota who said, we disavow our son. He is not welcome in our home. And we do not know where he got this. He didn't get it from us. We're bleeding heart liberals. And that's another question. If we are to, as Matt notes, emerge, make it through to the other side, we'd better, by God, find out where it's coming from. And I guess the easy answer is, well, Bob, it's the Internet. But what about the Internet? Where on the Internet? And most particularly, why on the Internet? Are there little Nazi groomers out there in World of Warcraft chat rooms saying, come on over to Daily Stormer? I do not have an answer. I know, for instance, and I won't name names, I should. I remember a few years ago, Ferg telling me about one of his classmates who was a big fan of Adolf Hitler. Now, in a tiny little community like where I live, where does that come from? Maybe the home? Maybe daddy's been to prison and joined an Aryan Nation skinhead neo-Nazi group? I don't know. I remember years ago now, back when Larry Gibson was still alive, when he had his annual 4th of July picnic, and a guy with all kinds of Nazi tats all over him. Hell, I think Michael and Madison was there that year. Maybe not. Showed up drunker than Adams off ox, threatening to slit the throats of children. And he was just covered with things like Nazi tattoos. Where does it come from? How do you guard against it? You know, because if it's the internet, then I'm guessing little Cletus Jr. isn't going to walk into the living room and say, I've just found something I'm really into. Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a Nazi. The kid in North Dakota didn't do that. He just turned out to be one day. There is, and you know, this is not McCarthyism. I remember, you know, after the national one question IQ test that we so brilliantly failed last November. What about her emails? I remember that you know, we asked, you know, what the fascination was, what the interest was. And all we could get was that people were economically anxious. Mercifully, I've heard very little economic anxiety being put forward for any of this. Could we be past it? I don't know. I hope, but I wouldn't put money on it. But, no, you know how when we talk about Comrade Kumquat being owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Russians, the precious little sparkle ponies will say things like, oof, you know, you're just, it's a new McCarthyism, you're just criticizing Russia. Hillary wanted World War III. Right? Well, this isn't a new McCarthyism. These are real Nazis. And there's nobody standing there with an empty manila folder saying, I have here the name of 5,000 Nazis. No. This is real live Nazism, and our country is pretty obviously infected with it. And I would very much like to know where the hell it comes from. How is it propagating? I saw a meme the other day that showed a picture of Donald Trump and it said cancer. And it showed a picture of the howling Nazis in Charlottesville and it said metastasis. I can't tell you. Maybe it's a question for Dave Nyward. How has this stuff, or some other, how has this stuff spread? Does it spread under the guise of goddamn Confederate flags in the back of pickup trucks? Is that it? Brother Deacon Asa says, may I offer up an idea in answer to your what should we do to the, do with the Nazis question? I propose we give them the old Walter Sobchak treatment. Brother Usher Steve knows what I'm talking about. So do I, Brother Deacon Asa. So do I. Maybe that's it, but maybe what I just said, maybe that's it. Maybe underneath all the heritage, not hate bullshit, maybe that's where this stuff is incubating, under Southern pride. I Matt mentioned they're going to do their thing in San Francisco a little bit ago. Sparky sent me a link noting that there are, it's from NY Mag, New York Magazine. Don't look now, but alt-right demonstrations are scheduled for 9 cities next weekend. Alt-right protests against Google's allegedly anti-white male diversity policies were already being planned before the white supremacist violence in Charlottesville this last weekend. Organizers of the march on Google in, at last count, 9 cities are trying to distinguish themselves from the motley gang of, of neo-Nazis, Kluxers, and open white supremacists who held the Unite the Right rally in Virginia. Oh, they must be some of the very fine Nazis. They issued a statement that closely tracks the evasive take on Charlottesville of you-know-who in the White House. We, the organizers of the march on Google, joined the president in condemning the actions in Charlottesville on August 12th. Despite many false rumors from those seeking to discredit us, we are in no way associated with any group who organized there. We condemn in the strongest possible terms any display of hatred and bigotry from any side. It has no place in America. No citizen should ever fear for their safety and security in our society. Except, well, they're motivated by some of the same things that motivate Nazis. Yeah, I'm sure by now you've read. I really haven't touched on it. You know, there was a kerfuffle caused by some right wing turd who was an engineer for Google, who said that there's no women in tech positions. There's not many women in tech positions at Google, because you know women don't think that way. Huh. Tell that to Millie Dresselhaus. Tell that to Madame Curie. I mean, you can't. They're both dead, but you get my point. Yeah, 9 alt-right protests, and, you know, they get off on this stuff because one of the other aspects of the alt-right is their men's rights bullshit. And it is exactly that. This notion that somehow poor, put-upon white males are being abused by worldly, emasculating, castrating bitches out there trying to take away their manliness. And that's where that word that Michael referenced a few minutes ago comes from, cucks. Cuckolds. Mm-hmm. And of course, how about Kentucky? The Nationalist Front will be marching, demonstrating in Lexington, Kentucky. Over the removal of 2 statues of treasonous Confederates. Jim Gray is the mayor of Lexington. He has announced that the city proposes to move 2 Confederate statues. And this has, of course, infuriated the Nazis, who say, when you're tearing down the statues, that is a clear attempt to replace us and erase us. This from Matthew Heimbach of White Nationalist Traditionalist Workers' Party, a Nazi group. You will, that you will not replace and erase us, that goes back to Charlottesville. The Nazis were chanting, "You will not replace us." And he continued, "This is an attack on us." Bullshit! It's the removal of an ugly statue. So they say they're going to hold their rally sooner rather than later. And for those who might be interested, the 2 statues in Lexington, Kentucky. They're in a part of Lexington where the slave market used to be. And he's trying to calm passions by saying, hey, we're just moving them. We're not destroying them. Where's the pity? You suppose if these fuckers could get away with this sort of thing in Germany, that they'd start putting up statues to Himmler and Goebbels, to Heydrich and Goering? Because I'm betting they would. But for now they just get by flying the Confederate flag instead of the Nazi flag. Because they can. David in South Carolina says, combustible, beware Reichstag fire moment, rat fuckers busy. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is all against the backdrop of Donald Trump wanting to get his World War III on. Or maybe his invasion of Venezuela. Or, you know, just about anything that can make him feel like a man. Because he has such deep and abiding masculinity issues. Probably goes back to when his old pappy, the Klansman, would beat him about the head and shoulders and call him a little sissy, or, you know, something like that. There's always something like that in the background. Scott in San Diego says, Nazism, where does it come from? Certainly there was some version or form of such beliefs, mindsets, before Hitler and his crew started their rendition of it. As I recall, some of what Hitler and company put forth had to do with Aryan mythology and lore, insofar as hatred of Jews put forth by 1st, 3rd, 20th century Germans, Catholics, and assorted other Christian sects certainly had a hand in promoting that. Well, you know, goddamn, as far as violence against Jews, yeah, you know, the whole history of Christianity in Europe is pretty much a history of violence against Jews. It just is.
Jews killed Christ,
right? Pogroms, blood libels.
Yeah, the Jews steal little Christian babies and use their blood to make matzah.
That is the blood libel. During the Black Plague,
the Jews are poisoning the wells.
Yeah, I know. Scott also pointing out on Vice News tonight on Monday. On Vice News tonight, on Monday 8/14, I watched footage of the Tiki Torch March on Friday night, and what they were chanting was, Jews will not replace us. Not you will not replace us. Some of them were chanting, Jews will not replace us. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Until we do something about, you know, Nazis in our midst. Asa says I'm far more nuanced than he is. Because he prefers the more direct approach with regard to Nazis. He also says he misses the voice of Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, in all of this, and what I told Asa is if Bill had been still alive, this would have killed him because he would have gone into an apoplectic rage. I can hear his voice in my head. God damn it, Bob! What we need are laws against Nazis. Plain and simple. The really, really brave cadre of the Republican Party has certainly been stirred up by what happened, by what Geezer discussed said this afternoon. Paul Ryan ran right to his Twitter account and said, "We must be clear. White supremacy is repulsive. This bigotry is counter to all this country stands for. There can be no moral ambiguity." But somehow, you know, because he's a collaborator, he just couldn't bring himself to say that Donald Trump is goddamn wrong, or that Donald Trump is a goddamn Nazi. You know, because he is. At this point in time, I don't have any problem saying that. I worried about it a little bit, but I'm okay with it now. Donald Trump, say it with me. Donald Trump is a Nazi. Donald Trump is a Nazi. Because once again, if you run with them, you get tarred with the same brush because you're right there where the brush is painting. But Paul Ryan, no, he just wants to cover his ass. And see, I'm a good Republican. I don't like white supremacists, okay? Rob Portman over in Ohio, the response to this ideology of hate and bigotry and the act of domestic terrorism should be simple and united condemnation without ambiguity. Donald Trump is wrong. Why is it no Republican can type Donald Trump is wrong? Representative Paul Mitchell says, you can't be a very fine person and be a white supremacist at POTUS. Well, I hope he doesn't wake up with a horse's head in his bed in the morning. Jim Banks, all are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. We must reject white supremacy. Well, how nice for you. How about rejecting the guy who is empowering the white supremacists, who has white supremacists in his cabinet, who has a chief advisor who's a goddamn Nazi? You know, there were several trending hashtags yesterday. Fire Gorka, fire Bannon, fire Miller. Oh, at GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, Saturday's violence and tragic loss of life was a direct consequence of the hateful rhetoric and action from white supremacists demonstrating. Well, aren't you just a bold little fella, Kevin? Not really. Because, you know, as your leader said about radical Islamic terrorism, if you can't name the problem, you can't defeat the problem. You want to end this white supremacist neo-Nazi nightmare in America, Paul Ryan, Kevin McCarthy? You have the power to do it, boys. You have the power, but you don't have the guts. It's called impeachment. High crimes and misdemeanors, baby. I realize that Nazis weren't actually a thing in 1787, so it may be a constitutional originalism problem. But you know what? I'm guessing, being a Nazi sympathizer, and I realize I'm just guessing, but I'm basing it on, people like either of the Bush presidents. Or how about JFK? Granted, he didn't fight Nazis. He fought fought Japanese fascists. Same. FDR, Harry Truman. Dwight Eisenhower fought Nazis. LBJ, Nixon, Ford. Jimmy Carter didn't fight Nazis, but he was a nuclear submarine scientist, a nuclear scientist, absolutely. We've got a long history of presidents who weren't really, Richard Nixon was a racist walking around half out of his mind on Darvon and cheap scotch. It's the Jews, Henry, the Jews. And you got Teddy Roosevelt, who was about as obviously a racist as a human can be. And then there's Woodrow Wilson. And there's really no jury out on Woodrow. Yep, straight up racist. Proud son of old Virginia. But none of those were Nazi sympathizers. I would make the complex constitutional argument at this point in time that being a Nazi sympathizer does, in fact, constitute a high crime. at least until they get around to taking control of the government, at which point in time being anything but a Nazi will be a high crime. Do we want to wait and see that? But all these pusillanimous little Republican punks, Marco Rubio, he at least addressed Trump today, 5:53 p.m. Mr. President, you can't allow white supremacists to share only part of blame. They support idea which cost nation and world so much pain. The white supremacy groups will see being assigned only 50% of blame as a win. We cannot allow this old evil to be resurrected. Well, good for you, little Marco. I'm so proud for you. What do you say you screw your courage to the sticking place, Marco, and stand up on the floor of the Senate and get away from the goddamn Twitter? Stand up on the floor of the Senate and denounce the President of the United States as a goddamn Nazi! Could we do that? You know, only because he is one! Steve Stivers, Representative Steve Stivers. I don't understand what's so hard about this. White supremacists and neo-Nazis are evil and shouldn't be defended. Direct that at Donald Trump, Steve, or are you scared to goddamn death of the Nazis in his base who will kick your ass out of office? Representative Lloyd Smucker said those who march under Nazi flags or with KKK-affiliated groups are not fine people. Well, how patriotic of you to note that, Representative Smucker. How about you're in the House of Representatives? How about you introduce a bill of impeachment? In case you were wondering where Trump's remarks came from this afternoon, he was immediately praised by David Duke, Grand Dragon Wizard Kleagle Cyclops David Duke, who was ever so glad that Trump had the courage to tell the truth about leftist terrorists and Black Lives Matter Antifa. Thank you, President Trump, for your honesty and courage to tell the truth and condemn the leftist terrorists in BLM Antifa. That's who Donald Trump wants to be remembered as having been aligned with. And by the way, let's check in with the hand wringers and pearl clutchers of the for-profit media. You may recall that Nicole Wallace over at MSNBC used to be in the communications office. She was communications director for Dim Leader back in the Reign of Error. Like I said, pearl clutching and hand wringing.
Who resigns? Which one of you can't live with yourselves for working for a guy that elicits praise from David Duke? Which one? Who? Tell me, who resigns?
Well, hopefully you have Republican leaders in the Senate and the House who finally really stand up to this.
But what about his staff?
Well, yeah. The staff, I agree, but I really think
H.R. McMaster is a general. Dina Powell used to be an executive of Wall Street. Right.
So, frankly, it should be his
Kellyanne Conway owned a company. His kids used to live in New York. What do they do?
The shocking thing is
when they see
you have
this.
Jared and you have Ivanka.
Who resigns over this? Who resigns? Later on, she said, Donald Trump is a disgrace to the Republican Party. See, that's where Nicole and I part ways. Well, we probably parted ways long before that. He's not a disgrace to the Republican Party. He is the Republican Party. This didn't all get started with Donald Trump. The GOP, as noted previously, has been dog whistling to the Klansmen, the skinheads, the bigots, the xenophobes, the homophobes, what have you, the neo-Nazis, for a generation, going all the way back to the Southern strategy that put Nixon in office in 1968. This isn't an aberration. This is the natural outgrowth of a generation's worth of neo-Nazi coddling. Plain and simple. So, Nicole, I appreciate your outrage. But, sister, you need to look in the mirror every now and then. You really, really do. 23 minutes past the hour. And let's check in with Silent R. Lamar. Yo, Lamar.
Hello there.
Howdy.
How was your trip?
It was a good trip. It was all too fast.
Well, that's life. Everything goes in the blink of the eye.
It needs to be 2 weeks next time.
Well, I don't know about all that.
I do.
But you got me all over the spectrum right now because I want to touch on everything you talked about.
We don't have 3 more hours, Lamar.
I know this. Why do you do this to me?
Because I'm a bad person. I don't know.
You're a good person, man. You're so good. This is a damn shame that we don't have more of you. But let's do a real quick run through everything. First thing first. Nazism has been in the United States since the 20s, man. Come on, Chamberlain and the rest of them. Chamberlain was classified as an enabler for Hitler. See, our biggest problem is we do not teach our fucking history. Our history is the problem. I don't care about them tearing down the statue. Tell them what the statue stands for. Teach what the statue stands for. And then let the people make their own decisions. I don't care if they got a statue in a park. I don't go to the goddamn park anyway. But the bottom line is, we have been emotionally charged and dumbed down to a point where we're all violent. We're all violent. We've gotten to a point where we have a commander in chief in office. Trump is only interested in Trump and what benefits Trump. The white racism is something that's been here since Jim Crow.
Lamar, you and I may have to agree to disagree on that. I think he really is a neo-Nazi.
He is a Nazi. I'm not arguing that point. He is a Nazi. His daddy was a Nazi.
Klansman, actually.
His goddamn daddy was a fucking Nazi, just like the Koch brothers. Their fucking father helped the Nazis and Russia with oil refineries. That's how they got their wealth. But do we get taught that information? Hell the fuck no. We have the internet. We can go and look for it, but we're too goddamn embraced in entertainment and how to be happy in what the other side is doing. I remember when Reagan, the all racist who started this bullshit, you went back to Nixon. Nixon was a racist, but he didn't act fully against the people with his vendetta. Reagan did. Nixon didn't care for certain things. Nixon gave us the EPA. He gave us a lot of good things. He also did a lot of bad things. So with Nixon, it's like going down the line and then veering to the left and coming back to the right. Hey, he had his issue. His biggest problem was he was a paranoid, scared alcoholic. Because if you look at it, he had won the election. He was guaranteed to go in, but he was nervous about his opponent. So he decided to do the break-in. I'm doing a real quick summary. He did the break-in, which sunk his goddamn what's it called. But Trump is a Nazi. He is a white supremacist. This is why they've gotten excited, because there's somebody in there who thinks and functions like they do. They're only interested in them and those who are connected to them. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You get my drift?
Yeah, well, I do, but yeah, I don't want to run the risk of being easy on them.
No. I'm not saying be easy on them. See, America is at a point. You remember those Twilight? You remember the Twilight Zone, right?
Sure.
You remember the one where Columbo or Peter Falk wound up being Castro? And he had the mirrors called the mirror. Every time he looked in the mirror would tell him who to kill in his cabinet. But then there's other ones. We're like, right now, America's in the Twilight Zone episode. We're on the edge of letting fascism take over America like it did Germany. And it is, I mean, history repeats itself. It just doesn't do it identically, word for word, point for point. But we are repeating what Germany did. And all the European countries are scared shitless because of our arsenal that we have. But the one thing that these Nazis and all these white supremacists do not understand, if you're going to have people in your area, in your country, fighting with you, as well as the rest of the world against you, you will not win. Hitler couldn't win because he was just an asshole. Let me just put it that way. Because I myself, when you take down the route or the path of somebody like Hitler, like Trump has done, you can't win. You will not win. And all these people who are coming out right now want to go back to the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. I'm going to tell you right now, like you were saying about the Waffle House, I like the Waffle House. Since there's no Waffle Houses in California, I got to go to Arizona to get to the closest one. You get my drift. But the issue is, when that person got up there and said, why is those black people being served before me? He got his ass whooped. Well, if that had been 1930 or 1940 or 50, he wouldn't have got no opposition from the black person. This is 2000, this is 21st century. Fuck that. And like these white people, I mean, they want to bring this bullshit that they did in Charlotte here, they better be careful where they set up camp. Because I'm like, this is the only
place.
Well,
Lamar, listen. I want to be clear about this. This is not a Southern problem. They came from all over the country to Charlottesville.
And they will
go from all over the country, come from all over the country to anywhere this shit is going on.
Okay, I understand.
And they are emboldened by this. So if it turns out there's one in L.A., don't be surprised. If there's one in San Francisco, God help them if they try this in San Francisco.
No, God help them if they try to pull this shit in Los Angeles. I'm like this. The only place they can come down here where I'm talking about is Orange County. The Orange Curtain. That's the only place they can get away with that bullshit. Because they come down here between South Central and West Hollywood, they're going to get butt fucked. They're going to get annihilated. The first thing first, let's talk about the gangs that are between West Hollywood and Orange County. Even if they land in Orange County, they got the Chicano gangs in Santa Ana.
Yeah, but see, the cops won't run from the gangs. They'll run from the Nazis.
But the point is this. The cops are going to have to be out there looking for the gangs. And the gangs are going to let it be known that they're going to be there. And when those people show up, flashing a little bullshit is going to be on. We are known for riots in California, man. We are known for that. It's just like another day in the park. We got people who burned down the goddamn post office and didn't expect to have their goddamn checks the next day. They didn't burn the post office down. We got a group of stupid out here, dude. It's not just in the South. It's throughout the United fucking States. You flip, there's any rock you want to flip over, you're going to find a stupid. And what we're doing, not educating our people, is making it worse. Really, we are making it worse because I'm like this. If we knew each other's history, white, black, Chinese, whatever, if we knew each other's history and mannerisms, we could get along. But that is one thing they don't want us to do, get along. You can, I mean, right now we are witnessing and living through divide and conquer. You feel me, Bob?
I do.
That's where we are right now. And a lot of people are not noticing that we are being divided so we can be easily conquered.
By whom?
By this small group of individuals who are not Nazi, who want to run this place like a colony. Look at the laws right now. Like you were talking about Sessions. He wants to get the records for all the people who went on this one website to protest, who coordinated to protest against Trump. And if he gets his way, how Hitler? Because that's what the Germans did. They had a list of where all the fucking Jews were, and they labeled them, and they quietly just got rid of them. They're repeating, they don't have a new playbook. They're bringing the same shit, and they're banking on people who should know or who do know to be dead or silent. And that's where we're at. They talk and preach about the projection of Obama wanted to have a police state. But this is what they're giving us with Trump, a police state. And since Trump has made tweeting the now the new form of communication for government, there's no way in the fuck you're going to get anybody to get out there on the floor of the pit and demand action.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'll change that bullshit.
I don't think this is. I mean, it may have inspired the Antifa people to change tactics, but I don't think it scared them.
Well, I'm not saying that they're scared, but they're going to have to recalculate their form of attack, because right now America is under siege, and if we don't do something now, you can kiss this country goodbye. Remember the first or second time we talked, I said I wanted my grandkids to grow up in a semi-average America? We ain't there. We're getting further and further away from that. I listened to you play some cuts today, and I'm like this. I'm listening to these people in the Indian and me saying him speak with forked tongues. Because they're talking about all this bullshit. If you want equality and fairness, it should be fairness for all, not for a few, not for some, for everybody. And the part that tickles the fucking shit out of me is when these white supremacists say, we want our country back. Okay, you want your country back? Take your European ass back to where you belong. I'm like this. The people who should be able to stay here are the people who were here already and the ones who were dragged here kicking and screaming. Everybody else came on their own. Indians were already there. Excuse me. The Indians were already here. The Africans were dragged here as slaves. We had no choice. We were brought here against our will, and we're here. Now, everybody else came just because they wanted a better America. Like I was saying earlier, or maybe a couple of months ago, a couple of weeks ago, let's take the Statue of Liberty and blow that bitch out the water because they don't believe in that shit. Sink her. Because everything she stands for, these Republicans are against. Give us your hurt and all this other bullshit. We're putting up bans to keep people from coming in. I mean, we had quarters before we had these people. We had quarters. Right now, they up here telling us, hey, we don't have engineers who can do the work. We got these bastards in from some Asian country. Guess what? I'm a fucking engineer. When I graduated in 76, I was in the engineering program. Why the fuck you don't have that now? You ain't interested in keeping America strong. To be independent, Bob, you cannot rely on nobody else, correct?
I don't necessarily know that that's a I wouldn't sign on to that as a blanket statement. Independence does not mean isolation.
But see, there's a difference. How can you claim that you're independent when you depend on everybody else to give you what you need to survive?
Oh,
we don't make our own goddamn clothes. We import and export food.
That's what the pursuit of happiness is all about in the Declaration of Independence. That's a reference not to personally having a flashy car, but to having a healthy community in which everyone can pursue a harmonious state of community.
Well, how can you have a harmonious state of community if you decide to degrade portions of your community to make sure that they're not harmonious?
Okay.
And it doesn't have a color either, because you live in West Virginia. They piss on you routinely. So I am not going to sit here and say that it's a color thing. It's a class thing.
Well, sure. And look, I'm based on, you know, the faces that we saw in the photos from Charlottesville, these are not a lot of poor kids.
Oh, hell no.
James Alex Fields Jr., who ran over Heather Heyer and killed her, he didn't run over in a rusted out 67 Beetle.
Hey, I'm like this. Right now, like, remember the kid in Texas who got off for influenza or whatever?
Influenza,
that is?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what the rich people's disease is. I got money. You don't matter. We got to change that. Do white people get up there saying, oh, white lives matter? Well, if white lives matter, then why are you killing everybody else, including whites? You're polluting the air. You're killing the water. I mean, we can't drink the water. We can't breathe the air. What the fuck are you thinking about?
I know. Well, Lamar, let's create a little space for somebody else to jump in. I've seen the phone ring a couple of times since you called.
Oh, there's no problem, man. I
enjoy our conversations. Well, you know, that's I guess that's what that's the way the program's supposed to work.
I wish I could have been a better ray of sunshine like you.
Well, that's me. I mean, not everybody can be a little ray of sunshine like me.
Yeah, I was trying, but I seem to have failed.
No, you haven't failed. You've just, you know, you're making progress, Lamar. You have yourself a good evening, my friend.
You too, buddy. You have a good one.
Bye now.
Bye.
And that's our buddy, Silent R. Lamar. 19 minutes before the hour. If you want to talk, you're welcome. I want to go to some audio, though, because I love me some history. The date is August the 3rd, 1980. Jimmy Carter is running for re-election against the newly nominated Ronald Reagan. Like I said, disgrace to the Republican Party, according to Nicole Wallace. What if he is just the logical extension of what the Republican Party has been preaching for at least 37 years or more? Check it out.
Today, and I know from our own experience in California when we reformed welfare, I know that one of the great tragedies of welfare in America today, and I don't believe the stereotype after what we did,
people in need who are there simply because they prefer to be there. We found the overwhelming majority would like nothing better than to be out with jobs, with a future, and out here in the society with the rest of us. The trouble is, again, that bureaucracy has them so economically trapped that there's no way they can get away, and they're trapped because that bureaucracy needs them as a clientele to preserve the jobs of the bureaucrats themselves. I believe there are programs like that, programs like education, others, that should be turned back to the states and the local communities with the tax sources to fund them and let the people do it. I believe in states' rights. I believe in people doing as much as they can for themselves at the community level and the private level. And I believe that we've distorted the balance of our government today by giving powers that were never intended in the Constitution to that federal establishment. And if I do get the job I'm looking for... reorder those priorities and to restore to the states and local communities those functions which properly belong there. I'm going to try to change federal regulations and a tax structure that has made this once great powerful industrial giant in this land and the world now with a lower rate of productivity than any of the other industrial nations, with a lower rate of savings and investment on the part of our people, and put us back where we belong. Now I just want to conclude with a couple of words.
Recognize it? Of course you do. That is the infamous Neshoba County Fair states' rights speech of then-candidate Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself. Takes a lot of goddamn gall to go to the county where the Klan murdered Cheney and Goodman and Schwerner, and buried them in an earthen dam, and dog whistle the buzzwords of white supremacy, states' rights, the toxic phrase that fueled the violence against dismantling institutional racism. But he did it. He damn sure did it. And we seem to have forgotten it. And just like Donald Trump, he couched his racism in economic terms. He sandwiched it between talk of the lack of the loss of our industrial base. And yeah, by the way, on more than one occasion, Ronald Reagan, in 1980, said that he was committed to make America great again. Because Donald Trump's never had an original idea in his life. The Fire and Fury line about nuking North Korea, he lifted that from Harry Truman. Make America great again, he lifted that from Ronald Reagan. The just say no bullshit about opioids was straight out of Nancy. But this isn't just about Donald Trump. Donald Trump just happens to be the Nazi in the White House. This is about an institutional mindset of the Republican Party that has obtained for the better part of the time that I, if not the entire time, that I have been on planet Earth. I've never known a Republican Party that wasn't racist. I've never known a Republican Party that wasn't prejudiced. I've never known a Republican Party that could succeed without its racist base. Because it's never been able to succeed without its racist base. August in Neshoba County, Mississippi, was that moment when the GOP fucked the KKK and they had a baby called Reagan Democrats. I only share this because we are we run the risk and we do ourselves no favors if we persist in thinking that this is a new phenomenon. It is a modernized phenomenon. There are some aspects of it that are unique to the moment simply because Donald Trump is such a goddamnable freak of nature. But it is not new. And some of it has to do with people who looked away from it or didn't pay attention to it or didn't think they were serious. Oh, well, you know, I mean, the Klan, they're just, you know, they're just a bunch of fringe assholes. Well, those fringe assholes are deadly in earnest about starting a war in this country. Early in the program, I had an email from Michael in Madison telling us about Fash the Nation and where that they're going to tear down the statues of George Washington bullshit came from. Michael said I'd explain why I was listening to that filth, but let's just say I hope I don't have to do it much longer. But the fact of the matter is, it's out there, and if you were to sample it, you'd find talks of race war that, again, have been going on for as long as I've been on planet Earth. You'd find talks of a new civil war that they've been blathering on for as long as I've been on planet Earth. I've mentioned before how, as a little boy, you know, Alabama doesn't require tags on the front of cars. Very few states do. And so that front plate space is available for whatever, you know, whatever you want to advertise. Get her done. Where's the beef? I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Yeah, those are time capsule moments. But the one I remember as a kid was a grizzled old Confederate veteran, a caricature, a cartoon, holding his Confederate battle flag over his shoulder and saying simply, "The South will rise again." And I heard that shit all the time growing up. And interestingly enough, I was in the middle of a rising South. But it wasn't rising on the merits of a renewed racism or a never really gone racism. It was rising on the determination of the United States to lift the South up out of the poverty and the penury that had been its natural state for as long as white people had inhabited it, with the few limited exceptions of the wealthy planter class. When he shot up Mother Emanuel Church, Dylann Roof had adopted for himself as a middle name the word Storm, as in Daily Stormer, as in Stormfront, as in Nazi. He had covered himself in Nazi paraphernalia from apartheid South Africa. And he said, we've got to have a civil war, a race war in this country, and nobody else seems willing to get it started. So I guess it's up to me. And his idea for starting a new civil war, a race war, was to go in and slaughter some innocents sitting in a church in South Carolina. If we really, really, really want to understand this stuff, we have to see it on a continuum. And we have to understand how deeply and how broadly and how swiftly that stream runs. Because it does run broad, and it runs deep, and it runs fast. And at this point in our history, it is running the risk of overwhelming us all. That's me, Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. But damn it, what's the point of being here if we're not straight with each other? No chaser. No little dab of pudding in front of the broccoli to make to get baby to eat the veggies. From the moment this program was conceived, I called it Head On because I heard so much media and so much right-wing babble out there that was as if everybody was operating with their heads off. Yeah, Head On, as in dealing with issues with no tangential veering, but dealing with them directly. But Head On also, because we're going to apply intelligence and analysis and knowledge and wit to the problems of the day. That's where we find ourselves at the end of the program. I don't know if I'm ever going to, you know, maybe for Friday on the front porch, I'll filibobster the travel report. But I got a feeling that stuff is just going to keep coming at us, and we're going to have to keep dealing with it and being alert to it and aware of it. So, thanks, everybody. I realize I wasn't expected to be here, and I didn't necessarily expect to be here, but I managed to be here. Thanks. And thanks very kindly to Steve and Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy for jumping in this evening and actually putting us $30 out in front. Thank you very much. And thanks to our subscribers who make sure that there's always a base there on any given night when, you know, things are slow. Thank you so much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan, for handling the lightsaber this evening in the chat room. Thanks, Sparky, for sharing with me that story about the coming protests at Google. Oh, no, they're not Nazis. Except, you know, they are. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Okay, before I quit, this is a great question coming from Robert in Australia, and we'll let this be the last word. If America does not solve this problem and it just gets worse, what does the rest of the world do? What does the rest of the world do with a fascist America with nuclear weapons? I think the rest of the world had better get busy working on an answer to that question. Fascism with nukes is a terrifying prospect, just as people have been terrified in the last couple of weeks since it began to look like the Orange Menace was getting a little itchy in his trigger finger. Thanks, Robert. Thanks, everybody. Good night.